Hello, Matrix citizens. This is your host once again, Tico, and this is episode 3 of the Blue Pill Podcast. In today's episode, we will be speaking about the late Darren Seals, aka King D. Seals, and Malcolm Shabazz. Okay, Malcolm Shabazz is the late grandson of Malcolm X Shabazz. That was DOA featuring King D. Seals and Young Noble, Born Target. Now, let's get started with today's show. The first topic we're going to be speaking about is Darren Seals. Now, who was Darren Seals? Darren Seals was born May 15, 1987, and he was killed September 6th, 2016. Now, he was an American racial justice, anti police brutality and anti gun violence activist from Ferguson. Okay. A homicide investigation revealed he was shot before he was placed in a car, which was later set on fire. Now, Seals grew up in Ferguson, a few blocks from the apartment complex where police officer Darren Wilson shot and killed Michael Brown. Seals had known the Brown family since childhood. Now, Seals got active in Ferguson, Missouri protests in the wake of the police shooting of Mike Brown and Carrie Bowl Jr. He appeared on media outlets such as CNN. Okay, as he continued to be outspoken about racial issues after the Brown protests. Now, he co-founded Hands Up United, and the Washington Post described him as among St. Louis' most prominent anti-police brutality activists. Now, Seals was also a rapper in the St. Louis group called DOA. In their song Born Target, Seals criticized police response to the Ferguson demonstrations. Now, Seals was known as King D. Seals on social media and referred to himself as a businessman, revolutionary activist, and an unapologetic Black African in America, fighter and a leader. I'm going to be playing a clip audio from an interview where Darren Seals was involved. The interviewer was Shay Black. He is a YouTuber. It was published on September 12th, 2016.
So what would be the things that you would say to look out for in situations like that?
I mean, we gotta learn from all the mistakes we've made through history and become more educated on things like COINTELPRO. How did they take down Marcus Garvey? How did they take down Malcolm X? They always use, I call them black cracks. You know, you crack it at heart, you crack on the inside, you come with a black shell. You know, they send people in. You got white man education, you got a European mind, you got a European agenda. You know, we gotta watch out for that, and we gotta be aware of all these smiley faces, because a lot of people, when it's a lot of media, it's like the gain from the energy that's being put towards a black movement or a protest or whatever you want to call it, a lot of people gonna come in with the intentions of gaining from your shine. You know, they're gonna try to monster organizations and monster. They're going to try to run for mayor. They're going to try to run for governor. They're going to try to, you know, that's just a game. And a lot of black folks, we don't realize that until it's too late. So what I would say is learn from what we did wrong, and whenever, if and when this happens again, make sure you know who's on your team, and make sure you know what's their agenda. Because if we don't have the same agenda, we can't be in the same fight. And that's probably the biggest thing I would take away from Ferguson and the whole experience is there's so many people coming in pretending to care about Mike Brown, but they had ulterior motives, they had different agendas, whether it's money, political power, or they just want to get their faces known for social media. So many people had different agendas, but Mike Brown became the last thing on that list. Like, justice was the initial agenda. And it stopped being about that. So that's the main thing I think people need to look out for when all these people coming into your city and coming into your town, coming into your hood. Make sure they really with it. Make sure they really care about black men and black women and unifying black people instead of using the white man's tools and the white man's money to spread it even further apart. Because truth be told, Ferguson was from the biggest and most powerful thing we had in a long time. So.
Now, this is another quick clip of Darren Seals getting harassed by Ferguson police.
Now, he going live on both. Now, get Ferguson PD. Some of the detectives on left. Look at this shit. Now explain them what happened, bro. Now, I'm going to give you my version. Now, we operate the dialysis center on West Florissant. So the dialysis center. We operate the dialysis center on West Florissant. Everybody know me now, I drive a G. It's me and my baby brother, he's 14 years old. So we turned in some paperwork for my mother. She's in the hospital right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm turning in some paperwork for my little brother. As I'm pulling off, I get pulled over right here. They pull out, point the guns at me. You seen the whole thing, right? Yeah. They pointed guns on me and my 14-year-old little brother. It's Ferguson PD. They pulled guns on me and my little brother. They run up to the car, they pull them out, grab me by my heart, slam me out the car, put me in cuffs, search my car illegally without my permission.
Yeah, I seen them. That's what
I gave them no permission to search my vehicle. I told them they don't have consent to search my vehicle. They searched my vehicle anyway. They pull me off the ground. They making calls to detectives. The detectives come. They search my car. Say, there's nothing in there. They say, did you go to the Trump rally? I say, yeah. He said, you post some shit about Trump on Facebook? I said, yeah. I said, what's that, illegal now? He said, no, that's nothing wrong with that. But you might want to pick your enemies better. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, some people, quote unquote, called in and said, I slang a lot of dope. And I make a lot of money. And I post this against Trump. I said, it's bullshit. Everyone who follow my page knows I work fucking 6 days a week.
Right.
What drug dealer you know gonna be a public activist? You know what I'm saying? So this ain't about selling no drug. This is about, they're trying to pump fear into us young black men who got balls to stand up against people like Trump, people like Hillary, people like all these motherfuckers. But interview this brother, cause he can tell you his version, cause I don't even know this man. What's your name?
Darren.
I'm Darren. He seen the whole thing.
I was pulling up to take my son to YMCA. I pulled up, I see him pulling off. Next thing you know, I see all the detective balls come from behind him and come from the front. I see one detective get out the car, point his gun at the young man right here, or whatever. They tell him to get out the car. They snatch him up out the car first, from what I seen. They snatched him up out the car. Then slammed both of them on the ground. Had them both sitting over there and searched his car. And I came back. I seen them standing up. I guess they trying to find drugs or whatever. They ain't find nothing. So they let them go. It's Ferguson that they find it. They don't got nothing else better to do with their life, man. This is what Ferguson do all day long.
But look, they know who sell drugs. They know what's going on. They did all of this from a Facebook. You witnessed the whole thing.
They don't know you to do it.
We don't know it. You just so happen to be passing by. And you was passing by too. Mm-hmm. And you seen. Perfect, man.
It's
good, though.
I told my girl, I'm like, that look like
D said. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, wait.
And then they said, who are you? You're so popular. They told me you got shot 7 times. I'm like, damn, how you know? So y'all already doing y'all research on me. Y'all already know who I am. So why are you even fucking acting like it's some drugs? You know it ain't no drug dealing involved. You know I don't sell drugs. You know exactly who I am. So you know I don't sell
drugs.
You know I don't sell drugs. They know me for Mike Brown. They know me for being against Trump. And I'm against all you motherfuckers. Let's be clear. It ain't about just Trump. Because I feel like Trump the only motherfucker that's dishonest. I'm going to be perfectly fine. But it's not just Trump. I'm against white supremacy. I'm against all the motherfuckers. But
Driving in your neighborhood.
Driving in my community. Picking up something. Not for my mother. My mother's in the hospital right now. She's been in the hospital for a week. She had a blood transfusion. Like, I'm turning paperwork for my mother. And these motherfuckers literally pulled me over, slammed me on the fucking ground, grabbed me by my head, put guns on my face, put guns on my brother's face. All because of Trump. Because I might post about Trump. Because I just activism against the Trump rally. Nah, man, ain't going down like that, bro.
You all day, then.
They had to be, bro.
In order for them to know where your location is and all that, forget about that.
And they said, this is only excuse for. They said they didn't know what's going on. They just know that the detectives wanted me pulled over. But they couldn't even explain who, when, or why. They say just.
So they had your license plate.
They say pick your enemies better. They say pick your enemies better. Get them. Get his plate.
There you go.
Motherfucker.
Once again, that was a YouTube post of Darren Seals when he was harassed by the Ferguson police. Okay.
One of Ferguson, Missouri's well-known black activists has died. We told you this on yesterday. 29-year-old Darren Seals found shot to death in a burning car on Tuesday in St. Louis. He was one of the leaders of the Ferguson protest after the killing of Mike Brown by a white police officer in 2014. In fact, Seals was one of the first activists who was on the scene shortly after Mike Brown was killed. He stood with and comforted the Brown family as they received word that a grand jury declined to indict former officer Darren Wilson in Brown's death. Seals, who was also a rap artist, frequently tweeted about racism, police violence, and politics. Just weeks before his death, he described this encounter with police in a tweet saying, quote, 10 detectives pulled me and my 14-year-old brother over, pointed guns on us, and told me to choose your enemies wisely. What's even more disturbing is that Darren Seals is the sixth black man in Ferguson to be found shot to death in a torched car in the last 2 years. Joining me via FaceTime from St. Louis is Carlos Bell, a close friend of Darren Seals. On the phone from St. Louis, one of Seals' fellow activists, Tef Poe. Tef, I want to start with you. Obviously, a lot more questions than we have answers in the death of Darren Seals.
Well, I think the community don't have too many questions. I think the community is clear on what's going on here. I think that, you know, from my perspective, Seals was clearly set up. I don't even call it a killer, a murder. Darren Seals was assassinated by somebody. And, you know, that I'll leave it where it's at. You know, we're going to do what we got to do to try to find some answers because we don't expect the police force or anybody of any type of authority to really look into it the right way.
When was the last time you talked with Darren?
I talked to Darren August 6th. We talked briefly about some politics. You couldn't talk to Darren about, you know, you couldn't speak with him without talking about politics. But we actually had a different type of relationship. He was managing a rap group named the Bottom Boys. And we talked about some meetings and stuff that he had with a few label execs. And I told him that if he needed a feature or anything for any of the records, to go ahead and let me know. And we planned on hooking up and doing that. That was the last conversation I had with him.
It is certainly troubling to hear that there have been six black men killed the exact same way there in Ferguson, St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, it's to the point now where, you know, out here in Ferguson and St. Louis as a whole, we don't have any misconceptions about what's going on. You know, there's a lot of conversations happening in America today, you know.
Now, that was a little bit about Darren Seals' story, who he was. Let's move on to the next segment. Rest in peace, Darren Seals, and rest in power. Who was Malcolm Latif Shabazz? Okay. Now, Malcolm Shabazz was born October 8th, 1984. And he passed, he was murdered May 9th, 2013. Okay. He was Malcolm X's first male descendant. Okay. And in 1997, when he was 12 years old, Shabazz set fire to the apartment of his grandmother, Betty Shabazz, causing her death. Okay. Now, Shabazz was murdered in Mexico City. on May 9, 2013, at the age of 28. He was said to be on a tour to demand more rights for Mexican construction workers relocated to the USA. Now, I am going to play a news clip where Malcolm Shabazz was being interviewed at, so you guys could hear a few of his thoughts and how he felt.
Now, in the U.S., there's a growing outrage over the murder of more than a dozen African-American people in alleged racial killings. The issue was brought to the spotlight after a black teenager was shot dead in Florida in February. The black community is angry at the police and the authorities for failing to bring those responsible to justice. There's also growing concern in the country about the police's mistreatment against the Muslim community. Well, joining me now live from New York is Haj Malcolm El Shabazz, the grandson of Malcolm X. Thank you so much, sir, for being with us. The first question that I put to you, if you can hear me now, is... Speaking since the murder of your grandfather, Malcolm X, how deep-rooted is the issue of racism still in the United States?
The issue of racism is very deep-rooted. It's something that's ingrained within the culture of the people and the politics of the society of this nation.
So basically, the issue is what we know. For one, Mr. El Shabazz, that the U.S. is now seeing an African-American president, is now seeing an African-American attorney general. Why hasn't this changed the situation? Rather, do you think that it has had an effect on the situation for African-Americans?
As far as the presidency, me personally, I don't believe in the presidency. I believe that the presidency post in the United States is nothing more than a puppet post. And when we see movements like the Occupy movement, where you have the 99% fighting against that 1%, it's not about color. It's about that minority which keeps control of the majority. When Bill Clinton became president, many black people considered Bill Clinton to be the first black president. Why? Because he smoked a little weed, he played the saxophone, he had the oral sex situation in the White House with Monica Lewinsky, many things that they feel appeal to black people. United States is the land of smoke and mirrors, and they're very good at what they do. For all these reasons, people considered Bill Clinton to be the first black president, but during Bill Clinton's administration, there were more black people of color, incarcerated at an all-time Guinness Book World Records height than during any other administration before him. So it's not really a case of whether you're black or you're white. It's a case of that minority that keeps control of the majority. There's no difference between Bush, Clinton, Obama. They're all the same. They had Bush out here, and they gave him free reign to do whatever it is that he wanted. I don't even know anyone that voted for Bush. But here it is, we have Obama, and Obama is doing the exact same thing as Bush and every other president that came before him. There's no difference between a Democrat or a Republican, and we make no distinction between one president or another. All they did was put a black face on imperialism. People were ready to rebel because of the actions of Bush. They put that black face up there, and everybody fell back and became passive. So it's smoke and mirrors.
Mr. Shabazz, you're a Muslim yourself, and you speak about minorities, religious minorities, especially Muslims in America, are bearing the brunt of the post-9/11 policies at home, at least. Muslims in particular are depicted as foreigners and homegrown terrorists, and they're being spied upon solely on the basis of their religion. How difficult is it to be a Muslim in America?
It's not difficult. We just need to stay true to what we believe in. I remember not too long ago in Florida, where they had a pastor of a church, and he had a campaign to burn the Quran. It was a Quran burning campaign. And many people, when they began to burn the Quran, many Muslims were upset and they were outraged and they wanted to take action. But my thing is that if anybody has the gall to burn the Quran, then we don't need to take any action against them. Their retribution will come from Allah, God himself. But the thing is, when many people started to burn this Quran, people from all over the country, they said, wow, they're burning the Quran? Why are they burning the Quran? What's in the Quran? So many people who didn't know too much about the Quran, when they started this Quran burning day, It compelled a lot of people to open it up and see what was within it. And all praise be to God, because of this, many people became Muslim. Just like 9/11. Muslims didn't do 9/11. Muslims had nothing to do with 9/11. If you even research it, you see that everything that was utilized in order for 9/11 to take place pointed right back to the United States. Even the training that they received, the flight training, they received it here in the United States. The visas from the United States. Everything, the airplanes that they used, everything came from the United States. And Muslims, we don't take action like this. Anybody to take such an action against civilians, we already know are not Muslims. Many of the people who were involved in 9/11 itself were actually agents for the United States, whether it be CIA or whatever three-letter organizations that they have that exist within this country. But many times, Allah, he says that he will use the enemies of Islam in order to promote the religion. So many times they try to attack us. They try to use false flag operations to make it seem as if we're involved in activities, which we are really not, and to deceive the people, to get them to turn away from us. But it actually helps us.
Shabazz, the brutal killing of Trayvon Martin recently in the U.S., and that gave a lot of cause for people to take out to the streets to protest because of similar instances involving teenage African Americans who were murdered by white men or security forces or police. Basically, do you think that this is the beginning, the start of a popular movement, a growing popular movement in the U.S. against racism? Do you see that happening in the U.S.?
I mean, well, this isn't anything that's new with the Trayvon Martin case. You know, my heart goes out to him and his family. May Allah have mercy upon his soul. But this isn't anything that's new. And this isn't an isolated incident. There are hundreds of Trayvon Martin incidences that are taking place all throughout the country. But many times the mainstream media here within the United States, they keep these issues localized and they don't report it to the rest of the public. So they make it seem as if when an incident like this happens, it only happens within your own community. Many people in Florida or in the East Coast might be familiar with Trayvon Martin. They might not be familiar with Oscar Grant in Oakland, California, who was murdered on the BART station with his handcuffs behind his back. He was handcuffed behind his back and they murdered him. They might not be familiar with Kenneth Harding in Texas. And those in Texas familiar with Kenneth Harding might not be familiar with the imam who was murdered by the federal government in Michigan. Those in Michigan familiar with that case might not be familiar with Bell, Louima, or Diallo in New York. You had Bell, he was coming home from a bachelor party. Him and his friends, they got in the car, they were unarmed. The police converged on the vehicle and let off 40-something shots. One officer emptied his clip, reloaded, and continued to shoot. You had another brother, they stuck a plunger up his rectum. The police didn't do any time, they got off. You had another brother, he was an African immigrant here in New York. And the police had stopped him. He went in his pocket to get his wallet. They shot him 27 times. When he was on the ground, they continued to shoot. So the Trayvon Martin incident, the Oscar Grant incident, these incidences are not isolated incidences. There are hundreds of black men that are being murdered all over the United States of America every year, with impunity. And the police officers, they serve no time. They always get off.
Well, the U.S. prison population, Mr. Shabazz, stands at 2.3 million people, which is the largest worldwide. However, black males, which represent the largest percentage, about 40% of the population, they form only 12% of the national population. A black male is seven times more likely to be imprisoned than a white male. That's according to estimates. Why are so many African Americans in prison, and what's the underlying reason for this situation?
I mean, it's a continuation of institutionalized racism. See, what happened, they didn't have so many prisons here in the United States during slavery. And when they so-called abolished slavery, that's when they came up with this prison industrial complex. The United States has more people incarcerated than anywhere else in the world. It has more people incarcerated than China. And China has the most people in the world. Matter of fact, if you were to take the prison population and all the other countries of the world and you were to combine them together, I don't think it would equal the amount of people who are incarcerated here in the United States of America. It's correct. The so-called African American makes up less than 12% of the population of the United States. Yet no matter what state you go to, you see that the majority of the prisoners within any prison population, the majority of them are black and Hispanic. And in these institutions, people are forced to work For pennies on a dollar. If you look at the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, it says that slavery is abolished except for those who serve within these penal institutions. So technically, by the book, those who are in prison are considered to be slaves, and that's why they can be forced to work for a minimum wage, which is less than the minimum wage here in the United States.
And Mr. Chavez, when you say that the racism against black people, African Americans, is institutionalized, what basically should be done in your view? What's the move that should be taken by the population, by African Americans, by those who are concerned about racism, to stop this from happening or to force the government to act?
I mean, my grandfather once equated revolution to a forest fire, and he stated that the goal of the revolution was that, like the forest fire, where the forest fire, it ravages the forest completely. He said that needs to be the goal of the revolution, where we take down the system completely and we set up one of our own, which is more just. We live in a society here in America where there's an upper, middle, and a lower class. And as long as there's an upper, middle, and lower class, that means that there's somebody going to be on the top, somebody's always going to be on the bottom, and somebody's always going to be on the middle. If black people or Hispanic people or whatever group that is being discriminated against was to move from the bottom to the middle or from the middle to the top, that just means that there's another group of people that would have to replace that bottom. So that are going to stay on the bottom are always going to be people of color, because we're the easiest to be discriminated against because of the color of our skin. We can't blend in like Jews or Italians and what
right, Mr. Chavez, so, unfortunately,
first and foremost, this is something that we need to
unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I'd just like to hear from you in 30 seconds, if you can, as the last question. Do you think that we're going to see a black uprising in America, rather the civil rights movement joining the 99%ers in America? What are you expecting?
I don't know what to expect, but I know that there are uprisings going on all throughout the world, whether it be Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, Syria. We have these so-called uprisings, these so-called revolutions, and many times the Occupy movement here in the United States. And my one problem is that I can't identify any central leadership or a governing body, and I have a problem with that. And what I advise the people to do, one of the things that my grandfather stated, is that you should never join a movement unless you're completely aware of what that movement is about. Because a lot of times we have outside forces that orchestrate these movements and get us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. Just like with the Occupy movement, from one day to the next, how do they know what's going on or what's the next action to be taken? They look at it in the news. In the news, it says, all right, tomorrow the movement is going to be over here. We're going to mobilize over there. But where is it coming from? It's coming through the media. And the media is a tool that the enemy uses in order to control, manipulate, and mold the popular opinion of the masses. So one thing I could just say is for people to be very leery of the movements they join and the actions that they take.
Thank you very much. Live in New York, Haj Malcolm El Shabazz, Malcolm X's grandson. Thank you so much for being with us, sir.
Now, I wonder what it would have been like if Malcolm Shabazz and Darren Seals would have met each other. Would have been interesting. Two very intelligent young brothers. They both died before their 30s. They both basically got murdered at an early age. Now, rest in power to both of them. And I'm going to leave you guys with some music. And that's it for episode 3 of the Blue Pill Podcast. Okay. Now, the song I'm going to play is by Rod J. She was a very close friend of Malcolm Shabazz, and she did dedicate this song to him. They were very close. Now, see you guys next episode, Matrix Citizens. And if you didn't know who Darren Seals was or Malcolm Shabazz, well, now you know, okay? From the Blue Pill Podcast. See you guys next time. Enjoy the tunes.
Shining star, the realest thing by far. Baby, that's who you are. There we said. skies preparing for the arrivals. And it is true, yeah, what they say, this matrix in reality. We take the lies, the truth, and then forgetting to honor our legacy. Yeah, we're so much stronger than before. I'm no more child of the past, no more. Take the time for the stars to collide. Together we'll face the evil eye. Together we'll face the evil eye. I want to thank you for letting me see that I can be who I want to be. I want to thank you for your loyalty. It is royalty, and I am here for you. Oh, Malcolm, life did surpass. You're a wiser man. You were trapped in America, and now you are safe in Syria. And let's go there where the good things grow, Algeria or Morocco. Let's go there to a place where we start our days with the deep. And you're so much stronger than before. You're no more child of the past, no more. Take the time for the stars to collide. Together we'll face the evil eye. Together we'll face the evil eye.